ॐ मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। I salute Krishna, the embodiment of bliss, by whose grace the dumb become eloquent and the lame scale mountains. Let Krishna, the Supreme Lord, guide us to the path of blessedness. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Bhagavad Gita. Last time, we finished the first chapter of the Gita. The name of that chapter is the chapter of grief, chapter of despondency. In the first chapter, we find Krishna is submerged in grief. He came to fight, but he found his relatives, his guru, his grandfather, were there, and he came to fight against his own people. As I told you, two things entered Arjuna's mind. First, fear. Second, delusion, moha. First came fear. Why? Shall I win in this battle? Bhishma, unconquering Bhishma, he got a boon from his father that if he does not want to be killed, nobody can kill him. And he is a great hero, unbeaten, unconquerable Bhishma. And Drona, my guru, is also a great hero. Karna, other great warriors of Duryodhana, are very powerful. Shall I win in this battle? This fear came to his mind. Second, delusion, that I am going to fight with my own people. Is it good? O Krishna, I know very well this is evil offsprings of Dhritarashtra. Though this is a righteous war, but I don't think that I should fight. I better lead the life of a mendicant than to lead a luxurious life to have kingdom by killing my own folk. I don't want. You see, these are the two paths in the Vedic system. Hindu system, Pravritti Marga, Nivritti Marga, the path of the world where you will have to perform your duty, and the path of renunciation, renounce the world and go to the forest. So Arjuna was confused, which one shall I take? He first came to take the first path of the world. That is his duty. He belongs to the warrior caste. His duty to establish righteousness in the country, among people. But he was taking the path of a Brahmin, denunciant, path of renunciation. So he was confused. Krishna tried to give some argument to try to establish his standpoint to O Krishna. He said, "We know what fate falls on families broken, the rights are forgotten, vice rots the remnant, defiling the women. And from their corruption comes mixing of castes. The curse of confusion degrades the victims and damns the destroyers. The rice and water no longer are offered. The ancestors also must fall dishonored from whom in heaven. Such is the crime of the killers of kinsmen. The ancient, the sacred, is broken, forgotten. Such is the doom of the lost, without caste rights, darkness and doubting and hell forever. What is this crime I am planning, O Krishna? Murder, most hateful murder of brothers. Am I indeed so greedy for greatness? Rather than this, let the evil children of Dhritarashtra come with their weapons against me in battle. I shall not struggle. I shall not strike them. Now let them kill me. That will be better. Sanjaya, having spoken thus, Arjuna threw aside his arrows and his bow in the midst of the battlefield. He sat down on the seat of the chariot, and his heart was overcome with sorrow. Very graphically, Vyasa, the great author of the Mahabharata, described. See his condition. Now we shall try to enter, we shall enter the second chapter of the Gita. In the second chapter of the Gita, to me, that is the best chapter, because here we find the Atman. The mystery of the Atman had been discussed by Krishna. The name of the second chapter is Shankha Yoga. Shankha means ultimate reality. This yoga will remind you the ultimate reality. Who you are, what is your goal? This second chapter will remind you who you are and what is your goal. You see, sometimes I tell you that two pages in the book of life are missing. You do not know where do you come from, and you do not know where will you go. If you can find out those two missing pages, that is the entire philosophy of life. Then you found out what is, you know, then you have achieved your goal. In the beginning, Sanjaya narrated, Tam tatha kripaya vishtam oshrupurna kulikshanam vishidantam idam vakyam uvacha madhusudana. Sanjaya said, to Arjuna, who was thus overwhelmed with pity and whose troubled eyes are filled with tears, Madhusudana spoke these words. Now, Sanjaya is the minister of Dhritarashtra, who got clairvoyance and clairaudience power from Vyasa, and he is describing the happenings of the war to that blind king. He said, Krishna found Arjuna submerged in grief. His eyes were full of tears, broken, completely broken. And this he said to him. You know, if you want to rescue your own people, friends especially, who are suffering in this world, this yoga is very effective. You see, among all four yogas, this Jnana Yoga brings quick result. Raja Yoga, you will have to practice those limbs before you attain the goal. Bhakti Yoga, there are so many preliminary disciplines you will have to go through. Karma Yoga is very difficult, though we try to work continuously, you know. We say sometimes we are doing unselfish action. Whether I have selfishness or not, how do I know? Perhaps in a hidden way some motive is functioning. Who knows? Karma Yoga is difficult, but Jnana Yoga is just like a sharp sword. It can cut Maya very fast. So Krishna first adopted that method. Of course, Jnana Yoga needs also purification of the mind. Otherwise, it is all of a sudden one cannot be a Jnani. But anyhow, for the time being, it works very, very good. Taṁ tathā kripayā viṣṭam aśrupūrna kulikṣana. Krishna looked at his close friend, the great hero of the Mahabharata, was in pitiable condition. Madhusudana, the word Madhusudana means Krishna conquered a demon named Madhu, who was a terrible demon. And another meaning of Madhu means honey. Madhu means sense objects. The person who takes away the craving for sense objects from the mind is called Madhusudana, means Krishna. He is a real friend. In which sense is he real? At the time of festival, at the time of your happiness, at the time of famine, at the time of the death of a close friend, at the time of war, at the time of arrest, he who comes near you, he is your friend. Utshavi vyasani chaiva durvikshi rashtra viplave rajadare smashani cha yatishtyoti sabandhava. Suppose one of your friend, one of your relatives, you know, one person died. A friend immediately will come to your home and will help you. He is a friend. He will not say, oh no, it is snowing, I can't go to your home, I shall try to come tomorrow. He is not your friend. At the time of your happiness, at the time of your rainy days, bad time, he will be always there. Whenever you need, he will be there. He is your friend. So Krishna is the real friend. He won't leave his brother, his own cousin, at this crucial moment of his life. So Arjuna in the beginning addressed him, oh Achyuta, you will never give up your devotees, those who have taken shelter in you. You see, these words are so meaningful, these adjectives are so meaningful. It says that, oh Madhusudana, oh, you will find how Krishna is again addressing to Arjuna in the second verse, you will find how he was addressing Arjuna. Second verse. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Kutastva Kashmala Midam Vishame Samupastitam Anarja Jushtam Asvargam Akirti Karamarjuna. And now when a person is fearful, at that time you are not supposed to say any sweet words. Then your help, you know, will not be very effective. Krishna is an expert psychologist, he knows how to remove that fear and delusion from the mind of Arjuna. So he first used very strong words. They apparently seem sweet. Krishna says, the Lord said, in this crisis, O Arjuna, whence comes such a lowness of spirit, unbecoming to an Aryan, dishonorable and an obstacle to the attaining of heaven. Apparently, it sounds very sweet. You know, this that I sometimes say, you see, in America, seldom you will find, you know, people use very rude words, rough words. Even their scoldings are sweet-coated, you know, sugar-coated scoldings. So Krishna's, these scoldings are sugar-coated. He says, Kuta, how, Tva, in you. Kashma, idam kashmala, this type of delusion in Vishame, in this critical moment, has it appeared in your mind, in this crucial moment? I don't understand. It is anarjya jushtam. This type of thing comes to a person who is uneducated, uncultured. He who does not know his own duty and religion. But you are not like that. You are well versed in scripture. You know your duty very well. You are educated. You are cultured. You belong to a kingly caste. And you are behaving just like uncultured idiot. You see, there is a punch is there. You are behaving just like an idiot, uncultured person. Anarja jushtam. Asvarkam. You see, Murabhat, he put three adjectives. This delusion has three adjectives. First, it is uncultured. It is un-Aryan. It is unbecoming to an Aryan. Aryan means culture, civilized. It is an uncivilized action, like for you. Then, Aswarya. A life of well-deserved happiness and enjoyment in heaven is a Kshatriya's goal after death. So, Aswargam, this type of behavior, action, will not take you to heaven. I'm pretty sure about it. Because the Kshatriya, if they die at the battlefield, they go to heaven. The scripture says so. So you are not going, either you are going to heaven. You are not going to get any kind of happiness and joy in your life. The way you are behaving like right now. Third, akirti karamarjuna. You had earned so much fame in your life, all will be tarnished in no time. You see, Josh, if you have no fame, if your fame is destroyed, if you are a famous man, even if your fame is destroyed, that is akin to death. Suppose you are the governor of a state. Perhaps you misappropriated some public money and you are caught. Your all fame will go away within a minute. And that is akin to death. With that money you can live happily perhaps all through your life. It doesn't matter. Perhaps you can buy a luxury home and have many cars and many maid servants. In this way you can, because you have plenty of money. But that is death. Because you destroyed your fame. So Krishna said, all of your fames will be destroyed. You gained so many reputations in your life because he was the warrior, the hero of the Mahabharata. Who said this? Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Shri Bhagavan, God himself said these to Arjuna. You see, in the scripture we find the sage said, Rishi said, Devi said, Deva said, Vyasa said, Shuta said, Shuka said. These great illumined souls gave various kinds of instructions in the scriptures, in the Purana. But here we find Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. God himself said this. This is the message of Krishna. When did he say that? When Arjuna stopped his long speech, In the first chapter, you will find Arjuna started to give a long speech to Krishna. I cannot fight, I cannot do this, I cannot do this, this thing will happen. He only silently heard Arjuna's arguments. When he became silent, then Krishna started to speak. The Gita begins from this place. He is going to say something new. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Who is this Bhagavan? He who has integrity, wealth, fame, knowledge, renunciation, and beauty, all wealth. These six things are necessary for a divine, for a Godhead. Krishna, you know, in Sanskrit they describe this way, that all these things are prevalent in God. He is the creator, preserver, and destroyer of this world. He knows Vidya and Avidya. Vetti Vidyam Avidyam Cha Vachyo Bhagavan Iti. He knows all these things. Now let us discuss these things from the philosophical standpoint. You know, I try to bring something which may be interesting to you. Every Brahmin boy repeats the mantra of Gayatri in the morning. He who is in the solar disk as a self-luminous being, who is the creator, preserver and destroyer of the universe, he is also within myself and he guides and I meditate on that self-luminous one. Let him guide me to the path of good. This is the meditation mantra. This is called Gayatri mantra. Here, this Gayatri mantra has some similarity between the conception, between the philosophy of Kant. Kant once said that two things surprise me. At dark night, when I see the stars, it surprises me because I think that who is the creator behind this solar system, behind these stars. And another thing surprises me when I do something wrong from inside somebody. He termed it moral conscience. Somebody from inside hits me. Oh, now you did something wrong. I feel that somebody is acting within me. Somebody is working within me. When I do something wrong, somebody as if is giving me a hit. Oof, and immediately I get pain. Here we find, you know, the macrocosm and the microcosm. This both intelligence are one. The creator of this starry heaven and the creator which is within me, who is guiding me as a moral conscience, are identical. With these Hindus got these things in their Gayatri mantra. He who is the creator, preserver and destroyer of the universe, who is the self-effulgent one in the solar system, he is the same being is within myself. Where? In the thee, in my intellect. Who is guiding my intellect? Go to this direction. Go to that direction. Who is guiding me? Both are identical. The same conscious principle are functioning. You know, there must be a very nice similarity between this Kant's philosophy and this Vedic conception of Godhead. There are several mantras we find in the Upanishads, from where this creation evolved, where it remains, stays, and where it merges, that is Brahman. Again, there is another mantra. He who within himself, the Atman, the body does not know him, but he controls the body and the mind. He is the self. So this microcosm and the macrocosm are built in the same plan. Arjuna, Krishna first scowled at him, Anarjajushtam. I remember once when I was a young boy, I was studying in my study room. I think at that time it was Second World War. You were supposed to observe blackout, but I had a candle in the corner of the room, closing the door and window, I was studying. You see, before examination, you will have to study. And this candle was flickering, you know. I was then just 7, 8 years old. All of a sudden, I was fearful. So I heard some noise and I cried out. I shouted. Then my parents, you know, I was alone in that room. Then my neighbor came and my parents also, and they were there in perhaps in other rooms. And he came and he first started to slap me right and left. I was thinking, why is he beating me? I did not do anything wrong. And just he started to slap at my back and head, you know. I was puzzled. Then I heard that that is the way, if you are, you know, fearful, that is the way they remove the fear, by beating. And my goodness, I did not know that. I got quite a few slaps, you know, from my neighbor. And he said that he did good to me. I don't know what good he did to me. Anyhow, Arjuna's case is also in the same, Arjuna's case is also the same. Right and left, Krishna started to beat him through words. Right and left, which is un-Aryan, uncultured people behave like you. You are not going to get any happiness in your life. It will destroy all of your fame. Then next, in the next verse, he said, Kalaibhyam masma gama partha noitatva yupapadyate shudram ridayo daurpallam tyakta tishtha parantapa. Do not yield to unmanliness, O son of Pritha. It does not become you. Shake off this base faint-heartedness and arise, O scorcher of enemies. Again, Krishna is reminding him who he is. You are the son of Pritha. You remember? Your mother practiced so much dharma and got you. He's reminding that how spiritual he is. Your background is very good. You are coming from a very nice family, from nice parents. Remember your mother. She performed her duty very well. Then, Kulaibhyam masmagama partha. A partha, this type of cowardice, unmanliness, does not fit you, does not befit you. Kshudram ridayo daurbalyam tyaktottishtha parantapa. You see, I know you very well. You are the scorcher of enemies. You have that power, that strength, but you have forgotten. Come up, arise, awake, and fight. Swami Vivekananda said, this verse is the quintessence of the Gita. I read from Swamiji's comment. In order to remove this delusion which had overtaken Arjuna, what did the Lord say? As I always preach, that you should not decry a man by calling him a sinner, but that you should draw his attention to the omnipotent power that is in him. In the same way, does the Bhagavan speak to Arjuna? It does not befit you, Thou art that Atman, imperishable, beyond all evil. Having forgotten the real nature, thou hast, by thinking thyself a sinner, as one afflicted with bodily evils and mental grief, thou hast made thyself so. This doth not befit thee. Krishna says, yield not to unmanliness, O son of Pritha. There is in the world neither sin nor misery, neither disease nor grief. If there is anything in the world which can be called sin, it is this fear. Know that any work which brings out the latent power in thee is virtue, and that which makes thy body and mind weak is verily sin. Shake off this faint-heartedness. Thou art a hero. This is unbecoming of thee. If you, my sons, can proclaim this message to the world, then all this disease, grief, sin, and sorrow will vanish from off the face of the earth in 3 days. All these ideas of weakness will be nowhere. Now it is everywhere. This current of the vibration of fear. Reverse the current. Bring in the opposite vibration and behold the magic transformation. Thou art omnipotent. Go to the mouth of the cannon. Fear not. Hate not the most abject sinner. Look not to this exterior. Turn thy gaze inward where resides the Supreme Self. Proclaim to the whole world with trumpet voice, there is no sin in thee, there is no misery in thee, thou art the reservoir of omnipotent power, arise, awake, and manifest the divinity within. If one reads this one verse, one gets all the merits of reading the entire Gita, for in this one verse lies embedded the whole message of the Gita. If there is anything in the Gita that I like, it is these 2 verses coming out strong as the very gist, the very essence of Krishna's teaching. He who sees the Supreme Lord dwelling alike in all beings, the imperishable in things that perish, he sees indeed. For seeing the Lord as the same everywhere, present, he does not destroy the self by the self. And thus he goes in the highest go. Anyhow, these 2 verses are different. Anyhow, here Krishna wanted to say to Arjuna that look, tamas overwhelmed your mind. Your mind was full of sattva in tranquil state. Then, and you knew your duty very well. Then you came to fight. At that time your mind was full of rajas. Now you are fallen into tamas, inertia, dullness. Now you are talking about non-injury, non-violence, all big words. You see, the man who has power, strength, he speaks about non-violence. It is all right. But if a coward speaks about non-violence, it is hypocrisy. You see, Gandhi had to hear this criticism in India. Like, we have no power to fight with the British and Gandhi is speaking non-violence, non-injury. It does not. You see, some Indians wanted to overthrow British by force. But Gandhi said, no, don't take that path. It will not work. You see, from Gandhi's standpoint, he was all powerful because he held the truth. Truth gave him a strength. But the other people, they did not hold the truth like Gandhi, so they wanted to fight. They say that, you know, we are what is called subject nation. we have no arms, weapons. How can we fight against them? You will be killed. We shall practice non-violence, non-cooperation. Through this way, we shall win, because truth alone triumphs, not untruth. That is Gandhi's theory. Truth is the goal. Arjuna is in deep trouble. What to do? Krishna was trying to inspire him. You give up this faint-heartedness. Then Arjuna says, Katam bhishma maham sankedrunancha madhusudana ishubhi pratijotsyami pujhara varisudana. O Krishna, but how, O destroyer of madhu, O slayer of enemies, can I fight with arrows on the battlefield against Bhishma and Drona, who are worthy of my worship? I can't fight with my grandfather, on whose lap I was brought up. I cannot fight with my guru. You see, now he is not talking about his cousins. He is talking about his guru and his grandfather. If my father beats me, I am not supposed to raise hand against my father, because he is my guru. If my mother beats me, I am not supposed to hit my mother back, because she is my guru. So, you see, that is their ancient tradition. They know it very well. So, Arjuna is now telling Krishna, look, you know all these things. How can I fight with my guru? Guru can chop off my head, but I know I'm not supposed to do anything to him. He is now trying to convince Krishna that this war is not possible for me. I cannot fight. How can I exchange weapons, these arrows, against my own gurus, my teachers? Gurun hatva hi mahanubhavan shreyu bhaktum bhiksham apiyo loke hatvartha kamansu guru nihaiva bhunjiyo bhogan rudhiro pradigdhan. It would be better indeed to live on alms in this world rather than to slay these high-souled teachers. But if I kill them, even here, I shall enjoy wealth and desires attained with their blood. He's trying to make it more graphic. Food, wealth, power, kingdom. When I shall enjoy them, I shall see the blood of my guru, my teacher. Because killing them, I am enjoying that food. I am enjoying my other enjoyments, my kingdom, my wealth. All I shall see tinged with the blood of my own folk. I can't do that. Please forgive me. It is better to lead the life on alms. That is the life of a mendicant. A monk is supposed to beg from door to door. He is trying to escape. He is trying to go to the forest and lead the life of a mendicant. I can't do that. Na chaitad vidmau katarano gariyo jadva jaye majudibano jayeyuhu yane vahatva na jijivi samaha te avasthita pramukhi dhartarashtraha. We do not know which would be the better for us, that we should conquer them or they should conquer us. Arrayed against us stand the very sons of Dhritarashtra, after slaying whom we should not wish to live. Krishna, Arjuna has doubt in his mind. I do not know who will win in this battle. That doubt is there, whether they will conquer us or we shall conquer them. I do not want to kill them. Please forgive me. Karpanna dausha pahat swabhav prithvami tvam dharma sangmuda chetaha yat shriyasyan nishitam bruhitanme shishyasteham shadimam tvam prapannam. This verse I shall explain to you next day. This is very interesting. Anyhow, I shall be glad if you ask me some questions. It is not easiest, I say it is the quickest. It is the quickest path. Do you know how it works? Suppose a person did something wrong in his life, some bad, evil action. And if he comes to me, if I tell him, well, you did a horrible sin. Now, you do one thing. You fast on Mondays, then you go to a temple and offer something to the Lord, and you repeat 10,000 mantras every day. Then after a month, you will be free from that sin. And when he was thinking about his sin. You see, it is one method that I am giving, gave him some instruction, and he was practicing it. It is really, I did something wrong. Well, if I do this paras, I shall be get rid of that. This is one way to give instruction. Another way, I can hold your two arms here and I shall give a jar. Forget it. You are the Atman. You are neither the body, nor the mind, nor the intellect. You are that self, Atman. Free from sin, free from blemishes, free from disease, free from death. If I remind your real nature, that is so uplifting. It will take you to a higher realm very fast. And if I say, oh, you are a sinner. Oh, you go and go to Rome and touch the Pope and do this and do that and this and that. It is a very slow method. Eventually you may get rid of that type of guilty consciousness. But this is a very fast method. That is the method of Vedanta. Fast. I am the Atman. I did one mistake in my life, so all through my life I shall slap on my face and my chest that I did one mistake in my life. I made so many mistakes in my life, shall I have to brood on that? On those mistakes? Forget it. Start your life right now. What is it? Let be gone, be by gone. Forget it. Start afresh. And that is Vedantic method that Krishna did. He is coming with all his arguments. You see, Krishna is now, it is coming, Arjuna Tushnim Babubaha. When he shut his mouth, then Krishna started to speak. You see, in this world, you know, when we speak, we talk, at that time God listens. God listens when you brood, when you think, when you complain, he listens. The moment you stop thinking, you stop talking, God starts to speak. Really, he does. Sitting inside, he speaks. You remember in Latu Maharaj's book, a young boy came to Latu Maharaj and said that, Maharaj, I did something. He heard that he slipped in his spiritual life, you know. So Latu Maharaj called him, you come and see me. Tell me what you did. He was so shy. He was so bashful, morose. He was so down that he could not raise his face even to in front of that holy man, and putting his head down. Latu Maharaj tried to encourage him through Vedantic way, it did not work. Then he said, look, my son, the thing which you have done, God has seen that. You cannot hide from him. Why are you so much afraid of that thing? Love God, you will be pardoned. He does not care if a little child, is covered with filth. mother does not throw away the child in the dustbin. He washes the child again, takes him in his lap, in her lap. Mother does not throw away the child in the dustbin. Same thing in spirit. We have so many shortcomings. Nobody is perfect. So God knows our shortcomings. If you surrender to Him, He will take care of you. You see, this is the way the teachers of Vedanta taught, because it is very positive and uplifting. Jnana Yoga is very fast. I am the Atma. Bas. Forget the world. If the world comes to your mind, no, I am the Atma. Few people can hold these things, this idea. But if you can hold it, it will be there. Sometimes, I remember when we were young, we used to practice, I am the Atma. When, the stomach was squeezing for out of hunger, I am the Atma, I do not eat. The prana eats, I am the Atma. We practiced these things for many long time. At last I got my stomach trouble. Practicing, I am the Atman. Vajijaza will not listen to you. Mind may listen, but body may take revenge. One should have a strong common sense. I am the Atman. Very few people. Perhaps among 100 times, if you can make it 50 times, if you are successful, that is a great achievement. 50 times temptations came to me, I said, no, I am the Atman. Or physical discomfort came to me, I said, I am the Atman. 50 times I baffled, I put my mind in God. I baffled the temptations, I baffled bad thoughts. No, it cannot be. I am the Self, I am the Atman. It is a great achievement. If you can hold your mind on God 50 times, it is a great achievement. That is Vedantic method. Fight. By running away, you will not be able to save your head. You will have to die, either today or tomorrow. Fight. Face the brute, face the devil. That is Vedantic method. Krishna taught the same thing in the Gita. Fight. Fight again and again, fight. You see, always remember, you may say, Swami, could you tell us what is in Krishna's mind? Do you know what is in his mind? This fellow is in deep tamas, is deep inertia. He's just like, I do not know whether you have seen them or not, I have seen. In a muddy pond, sometimes in summer, the buffaloes go there and they stay there. They keep their head up and this huge buffalo, they move in this muddy pond. And they love it. It is so cool, they push each other. They don't like to get up. In the evening time, the farmer comes, get up, he wants to take them washing their body to the shade. They love it. Pigs are also like that. They want to, they were wallowing, inside that mud. They like it. Arjuna is wallowing in that muddy pond, in tamas. No movement. Oh, I shall be a mendicant, I shall close my eyes and sit under a tree in the forest. I don't like to fight. I shall live on my arms. I shall beg from door to door. I shall think of God. Krishna knows that it is hypocrisy. In the third chapter, he will give another heat. Those who do not do physically but mentally enjoy these sensual objects, they are hypocrites. You will find that this Krishna is not an ordinary person. He will whip Arjuna right and left with sweet, beautiful words. You will follow his teaching, that how he is teaching. Just like American courtesy, sweet, sugar-coated scolding. Sometimes I say, Even your scoldings are so sweet. Anyhow, what is in his mind that this fellow is in deep inertia and I'll have to raise him? How? In the second chapter, it is coming. He will tell him about karma yoga. You know, activity, action, especially unselfish action, will raise your mind very fast. Patanjali also mentioned the first verse of the Shadhan Pada, the second chapter, is called Kriya Yoga. Tapa Swadhyaya Ishvaro Pranidhanani Kriya Yoga. Austerity, study, and devotion to God is called Kriya Yoga. Activity, you do something physically that will break your inertia. So first Krishna instructed him, Karma Yoga. That is the third chapter, Karma Yoga. Fourth chapter, Jnana Yoga. Sixth chapter, Dhyana Yoga, meditation. Ninth chapter also, Raja Yoga, path of meditation. He talked about bhakti in the 12th chapter. He could say, love God in the beginning. No, love comes late. First, do something. But not that all people will have to follow the same process. Some people, they are by nature devotees. You see, in the previous life, there are some people practice all these yogas, preliminary karma yogas. Then the next life, they are nature. By nature, their minds go toward God. It is an amazing thing, you know. Don't think you people are devoted to God only in this life. I don't believe it. You have did many, many good, virtuous deeds in your life. You do not know. Otherwise, this tendency will not come to the mind. Well, I was going to Seattle. I was reading a book. One of our Swamis made a beautiful comment when he was explaining to Sri Ramakrishna's gospel. Some people say that how many people come to listen to the class. I say, I do not count people. And I do not care who comes, you know. He did not mention in that way, but my duty is to create an atmosphere. And I try to do it as an instrument of God. If you can imbibe some spirituality, if you can imbibe some kind of some high thoughts, high ideals in your life, blessed am I. That my work is fruitful, is successful here. You see, I don't have back pulling, you know. Nobody will cry for me or family, home, no. We do not care for money, your power, position, name, fame. We are monastics. We are dedicated people. We love humanity and we want that all people should be spiritual. Because the bliss which we enjoy in our life, we want to share. That is the only motive behind our action. And we took it, not that everybody enjoys bliss, you know, but we take this thing, you know, this karma yoga as an opportunity that there are so many people among them, at least I got a chance to serve some people. How many people get chance to serve others? It is a privilege to serve people. I remember in one of my classes, one of my teachers told me, when Mahapurusha Maharaj Swami Sivananda asked him, what should be our attitude toward work? Privilege. Right, you are right. Privilege. It is a privilege for me that you have allowed me to serve you. In our attitude toward work is that it is my privilege. There are so many people in town who get chance to serve others. I got, to some extent. I do not know how successful I am, but at least I got a chance. Lord gave me a chance. and I'm trying to do utmost. There I have satisfaction. I try. It may not be 100%, you know, satisfactory from your standpoint, but from my standpoint, it is 100% satisfaction, you know. I tried. Whatever intellect God gave me and whatever understanding He gave me, I used to serve others, for serving others. That is the way it works. Anyhow. Om Asatoma Sadgamaya, Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya, Mrittorma Amritam Gamaya, Abir Abirma Yedhi, Rudrayate Dakshinamukam, Tinamam Pahinityam, Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Lead us from the unreal to the real. Lead us from darkness to light. Lead us from death to immortality. Light us through and through, and guide us evermore with thy loving presence. Peace, peace, peace beyond all.